This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 169. We're continuing the Roger Moore watch through. We're here with the Moonraker from 1979. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, guys. So we already know that Nate has not watched this movie, so we're not going to go into the how long has it been. Let's get to the Rotten Tomatoes scores and check out what the critics and the audience have to say about this film. Nate?
Yeah, so the last one was the highest one so far. This one, critic score is like more similar to... No, I think it's higher than the second movie that he did, but lower than the... It's like third out of four. 59%. Not horrible. You know, the way people kept talking about this movie to me, I thought when I would go to check the score, it was going to be like 20%, and it's not. It's 59. So that's not even that bad. Audience score, 43. Not amazing. Overall dislike, but still the 59 is higher than I thought it was going to be, because I've never seen this and I thought it was going to be 12 or 15. It's not.
But we already discovered the formula here. When a movie is bad, it's high. When it's good, it's low. It's like the opposite effect.
Well, the last one was high, though, and it was good.
It was. I mean, there's good movies that hit the high notes, but when we sit here and we go, man, this movie's horrible, the damn score would be like 89. And then when
that
the movie...
happened more than once.
It did.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why I'm kind of shocked at a 59.
See? But it's a surprise. I thought it was going to be lower. Well... Yeah. We're going to talk about it in a second, but yes, those are scores. 59 critics, 43 audience.
All right, so there you have it, guys. Now we're going to get to the opening title sequence called Moonraker, sang by Shirley Bassey. Nate.
All right. This song was okay. The song is not bad. It's one of the slow ones. You know, Bond, some of the songs are slow. Sometimes they're like faster. This is one of the slow ones. It's all right. She has a nice voice. It's more of like a ballad. Honestly, when it was over, I kind of forgot how it went, to be honest with you. Where this movie, so the opening credits, the way it started, I was laughing so hard because I was like, when the hell is this? Because the cold open goes directly into the credits, but the cold open ends with Jaws jumping out of a plane and landing on a circus tent. And then like doing this weird, it's like this weird spin. It looks like a cartoon. And then he like just freezes all of a sudden, stops. And then like then it goes right into the opening credits. And I was like, whoa, okay, I guess we're just doing this. That said, they're okay. This one's weird because it's not as good, the two good ones in the Roger Moore franchise that we've seen so far, but it's not as bland as that second movie that I can't even remember the name right now.
Man with the Golden Gun.
Man with the Golden Gun. That one was really whack with the water and whatever. This one's not like really whack, but it's also not really great. It doesn't really show the movie. It does. It has some space stuff. So I guess in that regard, it does. I'm going to give it a 3. It was like middle of the pack for me. Like, it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's a 3 across the board for me. It's another song that I do not even know the song. But I'll say this, though. Live and Let Die, very memorable, right? Paul McCartney, Live and Let Die, right? Because a lot of people covered the song, so you already know it, right? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to say it right now in this episode, 69, right? 169, View to a Kill, Duran Duran. You're going to be like, dude, that joint is catchy. Because remember, now we're hitting
Duran Duran.
Yeah, and remember, now that's 83 or 85, the View to a Kill, his final movie. I believe it's 85 or 83. That's where you get the new wave kicking in, and you're going to be hooked. You're going to be like, I like that song. It's a good song.
All right. I like Duran Duran. I mean, Carly Simon's song was cool in the last movie.
It was. Yeah.
This one was
bland, but I agree with you. I gave it a 3. It's not horrible, but I agree with you. I give it a 3. All right. So let's get right into the actual movie review here. We're going to throw out all those Rotten Tomato scores, throw them all out, because I'm dying to sit down and actually talk Moonraker, because it's been a long time since I seen it, and I've been dying to see if it's actually really good on the whatever rewatch I'm at. So with that said, I can't wait to see your Nate's. We're going to go with the lead character, Roger Moore. I think for the fourth time, he plays 007 in Moonraker.
Yeah. So this one, he was okay. I don't think he's been like horrible in any of them. Now, I did watch this in 4K on Amazon. He really looked old in this one. He looked way older in this one than in the last movie. He either they lowered his makeup or he aged 5 years in like a 2 year span, because he was really looking wrinkly in this one. I was like, okay, well, okay. So he's a little older. No big deal. I don't think of Bond as a young man anyway. I thought he was great in the last movie. I think I gave him a 4. In this one, he doesn't play off the girl as well as he did in the last movie. So there's not that dynamic. He's really, really rapey in this one. Like really creepy. Like when he gets to Brazil and the girl sits on the couch and they're talking and he's like, well, what do we do to kill 5 hours? And he just takes off. He just starts like taking off her robe. He didn't ask her. He didn't say nothing. He just starts untying it. And I'm like, what the heck? And then the other part too, where he he's with the girl in the room and he's asking for information and he just kisses her. And she's like, that ain't what are you? And then he just kisses her again. And then she's going to give him all the information and they sleep together. I get it. It's a different time, but it was like very, it was very much in this one, in my opinion. So there was that. On top of that, though, he's very, this is a weird movie. I'm just going to call it out now. This is a weird movie. He plays it straight, which is fine, but he does seem a little, you know what I like to say here. He seems a little sleepy in this one. He does a little, you know, fighty fights here and there, his little karate fights, but I don't know. I'm going to give him a 3. I think this was on par with his performance in the second movie, The Man with the Golden Gun. Like, he was okay in that one to me, too. I thought he was okay here. I don't think he was bad, but he wasn't as dynamic as the last movie.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. His performance as Bond, actually, the Bond character dropped a bit. Yeah. I mean, it was the same. I thought it was better than in... This version of Bond was better than the one from Man of the Golden Gun. I thought it was better. But again, like, I just couldn't get behind. This movie is like a two different type of movie when you sit down and you watch it. And it feels like Bond is in two different worlds when he's acting. And it's very weird because I remember reading, I think I was reading it for this review, was that he couldn't get into the sex scene with the chick. Like, he couldn't, like, vibe off of her. So it was, like, hard.
Had no chemistry with it.
Yeah, they had no chemistry. So I think that's kind of, you could tell in the movie, and which it was Holly Goodhead, I think that was her name. Holly Goodhead.
Holly Goodhead.
Yeah.
name of a scientist.
Yeah, that was the scientist's name, Goodhead. And I was just like, okay, great. But I agree with you. Like, he was not as... I enjoyed him in A View to a Kill. I enjoyed him in the last movie, The Spy Who Loved Me.
That crap was so good. And I already forgot what it was called.
They have so many names. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it is. The Spy Who Loved Me, I think that's the Bond that I want to watch with Roger Moore throughout. Yes. Weird writer, I agree with you. So with that said, I did give him a 4 because I felt like it was a straight, basic Bond. Like, he didn't go backwards at all. It just felt kind of almost the same, but not elevated. The Bond girl and the storyline was just wacky. So it didn't work for me. All right, so I gave it a 4. You gave it a 3. Main villain.
The main villain. Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah.
No, this guy's name, Hugo Drax. This guy is going to get, you're not going to believe this. I'm going to give him a 1. First of all, I don't like it. I didn't like looking at him. He looked
like Peter Dinklage.
He looked like a stretched out Peter Dinklage. Like, if he was full sized. He looked like a full-size Peter Dinklage. And he's very bland, no charisma. I mean, you want to talk about a villain? The last movie in the Spy Who Loved Me, like, that main villain didn't have a ton of charisma, but compared to this one, a million times more than him. Plus, I mean, maybe, and I know we'll talk about more in storyline, but maybe the worst villain plan I've seen in not only Roger Moore's Bond movies, but in any Bond film I've ever seen. It's got to be the worst. He essentially wants to poison Earth and kill everybody and then repopulate Earth with like these, like what he considers like these perfect
specimens,
people. Yeah, yeah. Perfect specimen. Young, beautiful people. They go on a moon base and then they're going to come back to Earth and it'll be, you know, why? It doesn't really make sense. Like, what's the purpose of this? I don't know, but it's absolutely horrid. He's terrible. Once again, Jaws has to kind of pull the weight as far as like, you know, interacting with Bond. And I got to say, I loved Jaws in the last movie. I did not like him in this movie. I didn't. He lost a lot of whatever he had in the first movie that he was in, where he was almost like I said, he was just like a force of nature. Here, he's a lot more comical. You know what I mean? Like some of his stuff that is goofy, like with the boat, it's goofy. With the plane, it's goofy. How did he even get on that? Bro, listen, in the beginning of the movie, there's this little tiny plane. I mean, it is really tiny. And Bond is on there with the girl and the pilot. And then all of a sudden, Jaws is just like, pushes him out the plane. Like, where was he hiding? He doesn't even fit on this plane. It's stupid. I give it a one. I didn't like Jaws as much. I mean, he still had some good moments. Like, he still made me laugh. Like, the part at the airport, that was kind of funny when he goes through the metal detector. That gave me a chuckle. But I'm going to give him a one. This is the worst. This Dominic Green better than Hugo Drax. I'm saying it now. Yeah. I'm saying it now. This is the worst plan I've ever heard in my entire life. I can't believe special agents had to actually go and try to stop this. Is horrible.
Look, I totally agree with you. This dude is a piece of shit. Like, straight piece of shit. And remember, I warned you. It's not like I did not. I came to this, and I don't like to spoil movies for Nate. Like, when we do this, I don't. But there's just certain movies that I'm like, we cannot hold our tongue. And this was one of them. I was like, out of all the Bond movies, I gotta warn Nate. Like, this is kind of the worst 2 hours of your life. And it was. My man is up. This villain is a piece of shit. He owns all this property. He's training girls in the middle of this awesome, but by the way, this awesome mansion. This is like some Xavier school shit.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I wanted to own it if I won the lotto. I was like, this thing is awesome. And you're right. And the thing is like, he's talking to Bond, and everywhere he went, he's trying to kill him, but it's not him. It's the henchman. My favorite scene is when he goes into when he goes into the G-force gravity thing.
And the guy unplugs a wire and then plugs in a different wire, and all of a sudden it's like goes a million miles an hour and the button doesn't work.
And then he shoots his dart thing from his hand like Spider-Man. Oh, so funny. And then not. Yeah, and I was like, oh my God.
And it breaks it.
I agree. He's like,
for 5 minutes. Why is there wind in there? There shouldn't be any wind.
Well, it's the G-force. So.
Yeah, I know, but that still that's not how that works.
Yeah, I guess. But so that villain sucks, right? Then you got to fucking Jaws. And I knew it because I watched this movie and I just forgot how hard. This is, guys, I'm gonna tell you right now, and I'm listening to me in Hollywood. If you want to destroy a good henchman, this is a movie to do it. This is what not to do when you have a really good henchman. And I agree with you. We threw out the disbelief in a lot of the scenes with him in the first, because he was just awesome. He was Terminator of the henchmen.
Yeah, he was cool.
And this one, my man is fighting him in a cable car. He's biting cables that are like this thick.
One little bite and it just breaks.
Yeah, it was like it would look like a Twizzler when he ripped it through. And I was like, oh my God.
Black ones, though, not the licorice. The black
ones. The licorice version.
Yeah, the gross ones.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of licorice and he went, and it just snapped. And I was like, oh my God. And my crazy scene that my wife was like, why are you laughing so hard? Is I'm like, instead of getting onto a cart and go to Bond, he decides to go out and do this like three times and he's already there.
I mean, not only that, look, the beginning of the movie, he jumps out of the plane and Bond like takes his parachute and he just falls on a circus and he just lives. He does it. There's no like, it's just like, oh yeah, he just fell on this tent and he's fine.
I want to wrap it up with this though, because I know you're gonna laugh. When the Spanish chick is in the alleyway and Bond is doing his thing, and you see the big head walking,
the Mardi Gras thing, like the carnival,
and he started to bite her, and all the people was dancing. He started holding her dancing.
Bro, I could not stop laughing. So when that guy started coming down the alley with the big head, mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't put two and two together. I mean, I watched it at night, so maybe I was tired, but I didn't put two and two together. And I was like, that's a pretty good shot. Like, this thing's just like ominously walking towards her, right? And then, but they did it. The editing was bad. And then when he takes, once I knew it was him, I could not stop laughing. I was like, this guy just walking around with this giant head. It was funny. You're right.
It was, and that stupid. Was just so hilarious. But dude, oh my God, it was just bad. I gave it a one.
Drax is the worst.
He's the worst villain. I mean, Jaws as a henchman, I mean, they destroyed him, but I still enjoyed him. Like, I was happy to see him. And you know, it's crazy. Like, he's attached to Roger Moore. Then that's the cool thing. Like that bond in him. Like I was like, okay, that's cool.
He falls
cool.
in love with that girl.
That was horrible.
Like picks up the wheel and then that music starts playing. I'm like, what am I? What is happening right horrible. Now? What is this?
The part that got me really mad is when they're like, we can't leave. It's attached. And he goes, hey, Bond, you know, hey, Jaws, can you give me a hand? And he went, ah. Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
It was bad. It was bad. I'm going to be honest with you. It was bad. I gave it a one. All right. Action scenes.
Action. Okay. Action. There is action. You know, we have to. We, of course, we do grade. I feel like we do a pretty good job grading on a curve when it comes to some of these movies. Because
yeah.
this is a spy series. It is the 70s. It is not going to be, you know, like the most perfectly choreographed stuff. But they do a lot of their own stunts. There is like literally people doing skydiving at the beginning. Yeah, it's not Roger Moore, but someone jumped out of that plane and they filmed people going out of the plane. It's actually really, it's well done. But here's my gripe, Alex. And I don't know if you feel the same way. This is very starting to become, I mean, we're four movies in and we got three left. And if this happens in all three of them, I'm going to lose my mind.
The boat.
But why is every Roger Moore movie have a boat chase? All of them. It's a boat chase. Every, yeah. every single time. There is water or boats or submarines. All of them so far. I don't think there's been one that hasn't had a boat chase.
I think Live and Let Die?
No. The first one has the boat chase because of the J.W. Pepper. Whatever. Oh, they're in the boats.
Yeah. You're right.
Okay. And then the second movie, they're in the boats right. in Asia. And yeah. then in the third movie, they're in a submarine mm-hmm. car. And then in this movie, he's in a boat. Two boats. First, he's in Venice. And then the gondola guy, all of a sudden, this boat has like a high-speed motor on it all of a sudden. Okay. Whatever. Fine. He also has a magical spare outfit that he looks like a gondola driver. Fine. I give it away. But then there's another boat chase. And I'm like, what in the hell? Don't get me wrong. Like, they're not like badly shot. Actually, I like the Venice one. I think it's okay. It's the right length. But the second one goes on too long. And then all of a sudden, of course, his boat has a magic hang glider in it. He drives off the waterfall. And it's like, okay, he better not get in a boat in the next movie. I'm going to lose my mind. Don't tell me. But if he does, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get upset. I'm pre-upset already. Anyway, besides that, we get our normal, karate chop, judo chop fights. There's some good shooting in this one, but there's a fight that's at the end of the movie. I'm going to let Alex talk more about it, but what I will say is it is not as thrilling as maybe they thought it might have been when they thought about it. Yeah. Like when they came up with the idea, they probably were like, this is going to be so cool. People are going to think this is so awesome. They never seen something like this before. And then you do see it. And so I'll let Alex go more. I will say I didn't love it, but there is a decent amount. There's some good stunts. I gave it a 3. I'll be nice. It's not amazing, but it's there. So I'll give it a 3.
All right. So honestly, I do agree with you. When we do review these type of movies, we do actually a really good job and not crazy ripping these things into a new one. So that's why I'm like, I'm really happy. But with this one, I'm going to be like 100,000%. This is not good action. I'm going to be honest with you. It felt forced at times when you're watching it. It's other Bond movies that flowed with the story. You know, oh yeah, let's go into the boat. And like, right? You're like, oh, that's cool. This one just felt like they went through scene after scene. They just threw an action scene in there. Like the yeah. freaking plane, the dude is making out with a chick and all of a sudden she goes, she has a gun on him. And then they right. all jump. And I was like, what is going on?
And then Jaws is magically there.
Yeah, and then Jaws shows up, which I was mad happy. I was like, yeah, Jaws. But then he throws, like, it just didn't work for me as much. I thought it was cool because it was real skydiving. So I was like, that's hot. And I always liked that stuff. And then we have, like, the boat scene. Okay, first of all, I thought that was a Q branch boat. All of a sudden, that boat became a hovercraft. Which I did not know how the fuck it became a hovercraft. Remember that joke?
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Oh, my God.
That was the gondola. No, that was the gondola one.
Yeah.
It becomes like it has an inflated bottom part that he drives in the city. Oh, my God. I hated that.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Yeah. I deleted it
from my brain because I hated it so much.
It started to, and I'm not going to pick all the good, because again, the movie, the action scenes in this movie were decent as best. It wasn't good because the storylines were horrible. The storyline is just bad. I'm just flat out saying it. It's just, it didn't do service for Bond. But I thought we were going to get some good sequences, and we did not. That Venice scene, yes, it was cool, but once he threw up the freaking hovercraft, I said, this is stupid. Like, I love my gadgets when the cars turn into whatever, but I was like, this is just too much, too much right now. And then the boat. Now, this was, I thought you were going to catch on to this. That boat, the second boat that he goes on, the silver one, doesn't it look like the boat from The World's Not Enough? The same shape?
Oh, yeah, kind of. Right? I love The World's Not Enough. That, well, I know you see, love that boat not, chase was awesome.
No, I'm not saying the boat chase, but I said the actual boat. That boat with Pierce Brosnan was black, but this one was in silver. So it kind of had the same model.
Maybe like it was homage.
Maybe. I kind of like the landmine thing, though. I'm not going to lie. When he hit the landmine and the ball started to drop, I was like, okay, that was pretty cool. I was like, that's some cool gadgets. But I agree. Now, look, I'm sorry. I give this shit a 2.5. And this is why.
I mean, we're close.
The G.I. Joe scene at the end of the movie did not work for me. These dudes started fighting in outer space with lasers. Like, straight up lasers. And it was fucking horrible. It was horrible.
When there is in Q Branch and that one guy's like, pew, 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 pew.
And it melted the face.
And it melts the rubber very slowly, by the way. It took like 30 shots to melt it.
Dude, that fight scene was, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, and I totally forgot about the scene. Because once the thing was like, all right, platoon 1 and 2. Now you could get out. And then when he started to come out and they whipped out the guns, I said, don't tell me. And we just started laughing. I said, this is horrible. And you're right. It was one of the worst action. I think this is the worst action I ever seen in a movie. Like, ever in a movie like that.
I gave Assassins a 1, so I don't
but you gave Assassins a 1 for you threw in storyline and everything like horrible acting all over the place, but you gotta tell me at least Assassins had way better action scenes than that outer space shooting.
I'll say this lasers. Much okay then that scene yes
that's what I but mean
on the whole yeah on no. the whole no you're right no, yeah no, no. It is one of the worst action scenes that's what I mean, like they thought in their brain like this is gonna be so cool,
lasers,
space. And it is horrible. Well, G.I. Joe is better, the cartoon action than this.
They were like, wait a minute, we could take G.I. Joe and elevate it in space, and it did not work. And then the final sequence of the blowing up of that stupid headquarters out there is just god awful. I gave it a 2.5. I couldn't give it a 3. It's not good. It's decent at best, the action in this movie. Nate gave it a 3. I guess he enjoyed it more than me by 0.5. Storyline.
1. So there's a 1 for me. And okay, I mean, when we get to overall, there's some things I liked about this movie. Okay. But I'll save it for overall. What I didn't like was the plot. First of all, once you, I don't know why, but these Roger Moore movies love to like wait a damn hour and 20 minutes to tell you what is the main plot of the movie. It takes so long to find out what the ultimate goal is, because this movie, he's like, okay, the beginning, the spaceship gets, the rocket ship gets like stolen or hijacked or whatever, right? And then he's on a plane, random, like none of it matters. Then he's like, oh, I know about Moonraker, blah, blah, blah. He starts talking about it and he goes to investigate it and he meets some people, like a bunch of stuff happens, but you don't know why the villain's doing what he's doing for a really long time. And the problem is that the filler stuff, it's not that interesting in this movie. Like I said, he doesn't have a good like dynamic. At least if like the girl and him had a good dynamic, like the last movie, it's like, okay, I don't know what's going on yet, but I like their, you know, I like their interactions. You don't even have that. So that hurts the story. And then once you find out the plot, like I said, I mean, it gotta be the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. For a non, like, if this was a total science fiction film that was not a Bond movie, that didn't focus really on Earth, let's say it was like another race, alien race or something along those, it could work. Honestly, it could work. But as is, this does not work. It doesn't make sense. The villain, like I said, his whole plot is stupid. And then once you discover that, I think the last 45 minutes, it makes your brain sort of check out, because once you discover that, it's like, wow, this is it. And then it just takes for, okay, can I say, I thought there was going to be way more space in this than there was. They don't go to space till the third act of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's actually the worst part of the storyline is when they go to space. Like, everything takes so long to happen. They're just up there, like, before the laser shootout, of course. There's just, like, nothing exciting. Nothing really that interesting. I don't know. I thought the storyline was not... It was poorly written and thought out. I didn't really like it. I gave it a one.
Look, I'm not even going to hold this back. I gave it a one. I thought it was a horrible storyline. I was invested in the movie for the first 30 minutes. I said, this is actually really good. I was like, what am I smoking? And then... I started to see the downhill and it just became really bad. I agree with you that once they go to space, it is god awful. It's really bad. The ending of the movie is, again, him banging a chick in a capsule or whatever the hell it was, returning into Earth. Oh, no, they were going around Earth and he's banging orbiting. Her. Yeah, they're orbiting and he's banging her.
We're banging her all around the Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was really bad. It did not work for me. I gave it a one. Okay, your overall?
Overall, so I'll be honest, I didn't fully hate the movie. And I'm going to agree with you in that I'll say I like the first act of the movie. It may be even the first half of the second act. Really, all the way up until like halfway through the Rio de Janeiro stuff.
Yep.
That I started being like, ugh. Like all the stuff in Venice, besides the stupid boat that turns into a hovercraft, that's literally the only thing I didn't like about the beginning. I thought the locations were great. I love movies set in Venice. I just think it's a beautiful looking city. I was okay with the mystery. I just wish it didn't take so long to find out what was going on. But I like about 45 minutes of this movie. And then after that, once he gets to Rio, it's still okay. Then he gets creepy. Then there's the cable car thing. Then it just piles on with like, it gets stupider and stupider and stupider. He drives off the cliff. Like he lands in the most random spot. And all of a sudden there's just like a girl there that he can follow into this. I'm like, how the hell did he even, what is this? And then he goes to space. And then that is when it's not as cool as it could have been. I'll put it that way. It could have been cool, but it's not. I gave it a two. I'm not going to give it a one, even though the overall storyline's bad. Some of the action kept me engaged, and I did like the location. You know, on a technical level, I think the movie's pretty good. I think it's well shot. You know what I mean? So I was into it for a bit. So I give it a two, but it's not very good.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of my least favorite Bond movies, but I agree with you in a whole. The movie was shot very well. I was invested in the movie for a while. Then it just fell apart. The script fell apart. I mean, not directing. It's not the director's fault. He just directed what they wrote. The script fell apart right towards the second to third act. It just destroyed itself. I did not like the Bond girl. I thought she was cute, but her character sucked. I couldn't
She's
get
a in bad actress behind. Too.
Very good horrible. Yeah. And Jaws, it hurt me to even knock these points down because of Jaws. Jaws was one of the best henchmen in the entire, and I'll say it's number one henchman of the entire franchise. And they just destroyed a character super fast. And he aged by like 10 years, which was weird.
Both of them. Why do they look so old?
It was weird. I agree with you. I gave it a two. I thought it was a decent movie. Never going to watch it again, but it's a decent movie. No. But the 4K transfer, I will say this, though, it's very good. Very good. So far, the 4K transfers for the Bond movies have been, you could tell the difference. They look really clear. The sound is digital, so I'm going to wait. Most likely, we'll get an Atmos soundtrack, but picture-wise, it is amazing. I'm like, this is really good. So what's your total point?
All right. My total points is 10 out of 25. Yeah, definitely. I think overall the weakest in the Roger Moore so far. Again, like it's not a good movie, but it's not like garbage dumpster juice. It's slightly above that. Whatever slightly above that is. It's just below watchable crap and just above garbage dumpster juice. It's somewhere in the middle, but it looks nice. It looks nice at least. So 10.
Yeah. I mean, look, it looks great. I give it a 10 and a half. Okay. Like I gave it a half a point. We were close in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, you use that whole trash juice or whatever. I'm going to call this dry chicken. This was a dry chicken.
Ooh, dry chicken.
It's a dry chicken. It didn't have enough of the juices to make it look taste good and everything. This was a dry chicken.
But it's still chicken.
Yes. It's still Bond, still chicken, but it was kind of dry. Wasn't good as much. But yeah, other than that, what's coming up, Nick?
All right. So that is Moonraker now. Next episode, we are wrapping up the 2000s. No more 2000s movies. It's our last one. This is going to be Mr. and Mrs. Smith starring Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. And then next week, moving on with the Bond series, we will be watching For Your Eyes Only. Now, I like the title of this one. I've never seen it. I don't know what it's about, but it sounds cool. So hopefully it's, I mean, I don't think it could be worse than Moonraker.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. I'm looking forward to it. But that's our next Bond movie.
I think the final two movies, I think we're hitting the final two movies, right? Is For Your Eyes Only. Huh? We got three more to go.
He has seven, and this was the fourth. We just watched the fourth one.
Oh, so we got a few more to go.
For Your Eyes Only.
And, A View to a Kill.
And then Octopussy.
Oh, okay. You know what? It gets better.
Your Eyes Only, Octopussy, A View to a Kill. Those are the next three.
Those get better. Don't worry about it. Okay. It's not like Moonraker. Okay. Yeah, but okay. Other than that, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, just head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast, or just go to our actual website, www.geeksandflicks.com. There we have the video and audio of the podcast simultaneous. If you want to join the Patreon and watch the behind scenes look of us making the podcast, you could join there also. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.